Hello again. Today is the feast of St. Josephine Margaret Bakhita, the patron saint of Sudan, as well as a symbolic figure against human trafficking. Perhaps you have never heard of her and her amazing life. Allow me to relate features of her witness, which began in 1869 on the Darfur region of the Sudan. She was a member of the Dajou people, and her uncle was a tribal chief. Due to her family lineage, she grew up happy and relatively prosperous, saying later that as a child, she did not know suffering. Then, in February 1877, Josephine was kidnapped by Arab slave traders. Although Josephine was just a child, she was forced to walk barefoot over 600 miles to a slave market. There, Josephine was bought and sold at least twice. And later, for the next 12 years, she would be bought, sold, and given away over a dozen times. It may be hard to imagine that Josephine spent so much time in captivity that she even forgot her original name. As a slave, she was beaten so severely that she became incapacitated for a month. One of her owners was a Turkish general who gave her to his wife and mother-in-law, who both beat her, Josephine, daily. Josephine later wrote that as soon as one wound would heal, they would inflict another. She later told about how the general's wife ordered her to be scarred. As her mistress watched, ready with a whip, another woman drew patterns on her skin with flour, then cut into her flesh with a blade. They rubbed the wounds with salt to make the scars permanent. Josephine would suffer a total of 114 scars from this abuse. In 1883, Josephine was sold to the Italian vice consul to Sudan, Callisto Legani. He was a much kinder master, and he did not beat her. When it was time for him to return to Italy, Josephine begged to be taken with him, and he agreed. When she arrived in Italy, she was brought to another family as a gift, whom she served as a nanny. Her new family placed her in the custody of the Canossian sisters in Venice. It was through these sisters that Josephine came to learn about a personal God. She had always known about a God, but did not know who he was. The sisters answered her questions. She was deeply moved by her time with the sisters and discerned a call to follow Jesus Christ. After a series of legal procedures, Josephine was declared finally free and could choose to do whatever she wanted in her life. She chose to remain with the Canossian sisters. In 1890, Josephine was baptized, confirmed, and received her first Eucharist. The archbishop who gave her the sacraments was none other than the future Pope Pius X. Josephine became a novice with the Canossian Daughters of Charity and taking vows on December 8, 1896. She was eventually assigned to a convent in Chio, Vicenza. For the next 42 years of her life, she worked as a cook and a doorkeeper at the convent. She also traveled and visited other convents, telling her story to other sisters, preparing them for work in Africa. Josephine was known for her gentle voice and smile. She was charismatic and was often referred to lovingly as the little brown sister or honorably as the black mother. When speaking of her enslavement, Josephine often professed she would thank her kidnappers, for had she not been kidnapped, she might never have come to know Jesus Christ and entered his church. In her later years, she began to suffer physical pain and was forced to use a wheelchair, but she always remained cheerful. If anyone asked her how she was, she would reply, "As the Master desires." On the evening of February 8, 1947, Josephine spoke her last words. They were, "Our Lady, Our Lady." When she died, the process of canonization began in 1958 under Pope John XXIII. Then on December 1st, 1978, Pope John Paul II declared her venerable. But sadly, the news of her beatification in 1992 was censored in Sudan. Until 9 months later, Pope John Paul II visited Sudan and honored Josephine publicly. He finally canonized her on October 1st, 2000, in Sudan. Saint Josephine is not the only saint, however, to have been kidnapped. There were others, including Saint Patrick, A noted contemporary sculptor, Timothy Schmaltz, whose statue of a homeless Jesus is placed right outside the doors of our chapel, has designed a new sculpture of St. Josephine. He is a link to a spot of the sculpture may be found next to the homily link today. It is a 20-foot-long sculpture with 100 figures being freed by St. Josephine, and it is titled, Let the Oppressed Go Free. Mr. Schmaltz also gave me a miniature copy of the statue, which may also be seen next to the link, where you can see a model of Mr. Schmaltz's sculpture. It is titled, The purpose, he said, is to increase awareness of the crisis of trafficking. He intends to have one statue placed in Dublin on St. Patrick's Day, as well as in New York City near St. Patrick's Cathedral. Why? Because Patrick himself was kidnapped. I should also note that some years ago, while serving as an administrator at Loyola University of Chicago, I had the opportunity to work with the University Center of the Human Rights of Children. The issue of combating human trafficking was one of the center's major concerns. A link to a short video about the work is also near the link to today's homily. While working with the center, I learned that more than 2 million people are trafficked every year, and thousands are trafficked in the United States. The United States Department of State estimates that 14,000 to 17,000 people are trafficked here in the U.S. each year. Physical abuse. Trafficked victims are often beaten and brutalized, raped and sexually abused. Victims are frequently deprived of adequate food, shelter, and sleep. And it happens especially at major sporting events such as the Super Bowl. You might say that amidst the bright lights of the sporting events, the shadows and sins of young women being done to young women and men are lurking. Folks, the life witness of St. Josephine provides an inspiring model to call forth and free those slaved and trafficked, children, men, and women in our own day.